Scriptures again, Psalm 25, verses 1 and 2, and then 8 to 11, and Philippians 2, 5 to 11. So Psalms 25. In you, Lord, my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come to those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are my God and my Savior. Oh, whoops. I did the wrong thing, sorry. Now we'll go down to 8. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of his covenant. For the sake of your name, Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. And over to Philippians 2, 5 to 11. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under heaven, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. May God bless the reading of his word.
This seems to get harder every night. My eyes are different, and then it's different lighting. So now I'm like, I'm going to be doing this pretty soon. So no, not quite that bad. Again, it is good to be here with you one and all. What a privilege it is to join you on this 20th anniversary. I was reminded it's 20 years and 4 days since this church started to gather. And what a great, I want to say it's a great accomplishment, but we're just thankful to God. And I want to thank you all. Who was here 20 years ago? Okay, there's a few of us that can raise our hands and just think where we were. I had more hair on my head, and there was a lot less of me, and all those kind of things. But it is good to just know that you've gathered here, and through the thick and thin, and through the cold and the heat, and the drought and the famine, and also in the times of rain, and even gone through a couple floods together. So it's quite amazing how God has continued to be faithful and moving in this community, and what a testament to his faithfulness. And it has changed a lot of people's lives. I was telling Sam tonight, I picked him up on the side of the road. He said he needed a ride to go somewhere, so I brought him along with me. But we stopped for a coffee before church, and I said, you know, if I have a couple of these in me before I preach, the message is a lot quicker and we're done sooner. And so we can get on to the treats. And I was just looking over there and I thought, I hope that Timbit, somebody hasn't been saving those for 20 years and decided tonight's the night when we share those. It might be a little crunchy. So if you bite into them, but that's a scary part. They probably wouldn't be crunchy after 20 years. Anyway, that's being said around. That's another thing. Anyway, you know, the other day at church, well, not at church, but at our church, we had the 4-H'ers come in and they had their yearly speech competition. And it's so interesting watching these kids get up, and some of them are just so, especially the first timers, they're so nervous. They're so scared, and they do a wonderful job, and they practice and they do the best they can. And then you watch them as they get older and how they become more comfortable with the audience and more comfortable doing it and realizing that they will survive that moment of being up on the stage. And this one little boy, I remember he was getting kind of nervous about going up. I said, well, do you have a joke? And he said, no, should I? And I said, no. I said, but if you just remember, if you always have a joke, it just helps you and it helps everybody else. And he said, well, what's a joke? And I said, well, you can ask them, you can say, boy, it's cold outside. And they should say, how cold is it? So we're going to try that. Boy, it's cold outside. It's so cold, my plumber even decided to pull up his pants. So there you go. He was too young to understand that joke, but that's okay. The folks that were around him had a little bit of a chuckle anyway, so. I also want to bring you greetings from Bonnie Thiessen. I just talked to her today. I'd invited her to see if she wanted to come along. But this being this cold and just things out on the ranch, she decided that it wasn't really the great. If the temperature was a little warmer, she would have gladly come. She was prepared to come. But just so anyway, she just wanted to send her greetings and let you know that she thinks of you often. And she appreciates your support and that she just, she just cares for you all. So I wanted to pass that on to you before we begin this evening. I also wanted to make mention of that song, Thy Word is a Lamp Unto My Feet and a Light Unto My Path. What a great song for us to sing on a night like tonight as we enter into God's Word, remembering that is God's Word that is growing us. It's there to grow us in our faith, to draw us into His presence, and to teach us how to walk with God. Because really, it's an amazing thing how we get invited into this relationship with God, into this kingdom of God work. Of living our lives amongst our neighbors and amongst one another and just how we are being taught to live as Christ followers by none other than the Spirit of God. Really, it's a humbling, humbling thing to think that God loves us to invite us into that place and then says, and I will teach you, I will guide you how to be part of my kingdom, how to live as part of my kingdom, not for your glory, but so that you can be a witness to others and that your unity and growing together will be a witness to the world that God is doing a good work. Because as we can tell in this time and age in our political environment, unity is actually probably ranks quite low about the things that are being accomplished and what's being portrayed, right? Locally and internationally. And I don't want to really talk about the politics to the border to the south of us, but who knows? Who knows? But unity is not the goal. It's about confusion, right? So, and it's a human thing. When we want our own way and you want your own way, it doesn't create unity. But when we're joined with Christ, the end game and goal is unity. And that is brought about by these two scriptures today that speaks, well, how do we get there? And we get there by being people of humility. But sometimes it's hard to understand, well, what does that mean? What does it mean to be humble? How is that to be lived out of my lives? What is my example? And as we read in Philippians, or it was read to us this evening, humility comes by imitating Christ, but even more than imitating, it says to have the same attitude or the same mindset as Jesus. And we're going to discover a little bit about that. But before we get there, I just want to talk about, again, it's just a privilege to be here tonight. And I remember being here 20 years ago, and I think, and because I'm pretty sure I was here on the first night, but then that's 20 years ago. And so I didn't think I'd be here. Who knew where I was going to be 20 years from then, but I believe it was in the theater, correct? And I remember, and it was just packed, and it was a room that was full of excitement because this new thing was starting, a cowboy trail church, something that hadn't happened really in this area. And now, I mean, I was just up in Caroline today at a little course up there, and we were talking about the Clearwater Cowboy Church has been going for 15 years, James River Cowboy Church has been going for 10, and now they're going to be starting it's not going to be a cowboy church, but they're going to call it a country church north of Spruce View, and that should be perhaps maybe starting up within the next few months. And here is an opportunity of more believers gathering and being faithful to God, and it's just great to see. And it starts kind of right here, right? And so that's a real neat thing. And to think about all those churches that have started because of what happened here 20 years ago. So it's really neat. And right in the midst, I just remember I can't remember if I sang that night or not. I might have, but I can't remember if I did. But right in the midst of all that excitement, there came Bryn. And it was really an interesting time because who knew that what was going to happen? But he came to speak and be a part of that and sort of take on this pastoral role or preaching role and into the middle of that. And here he was. I remember we just looking up at all those people because it's a pretty steep theater. You pretty much look up everybody's nostril, right? And so that's just one thing to keep you kind of relaxed. It's like, well, I can see everything. But we sat down there and I just remember that Bryn stands up and we all knew Bryn, right? We know Bryn. He's a wordsmith. He's a poet. He's an entertainer. He can entertain just, I remember going to the Calgary Stampede with him and when we'd go to the Calgary Stampede, we'd walk through the grounds. And my favorite thing to do was walk about 10, 15 feet behind him and pretend I didn't know him. And I just watch everybody walk around him and just be like looking. And this is back in the days when he had hair down to past his shoulders and big leather cuffs. And it was so funny because some of the comments I would hear is people were whispering, "Did you see that guy?" And I'd be killing myself laughing. It was my entertainment. I mean, I didn't need to go to any show because he was right there in front of me. And then we had so much fun. Anyway, he was an entertainer. Of course, he was a cowboy. And when got to sell you that live, as many of you did. And he was a sort of a showman. And he loved to get people together. And he would do things that were just kind of out of the ordinary. He sort of went to his walk to the beat of a different drummer, and that's for sure, because if you ever saw him walk, you realize nobody should be able to walk with the legs bowed quite like that. I've never seen a guy wear out his shoes quite in that fashion either. But and then he was a preacher, and you never knew what he was going to say. He would tell stories or jokes. I don't think he ever introduced me anywhere if I came up to do a special number that I wasn't somehow made fun of, ridiculed, called his butler, those kind of things, right? It was just because we had a good relationship. And of course, as with many of you, he was a good, good friend. And I had the privilege of working with him. So this place was very much shaped by who he was, but it wasn't his place, but it was shaped. We have to acknowledge that for almost 19 years, he was faithful to this. And I mean, I remember he would be out in the middle of, way out on a lease somewhere, "Well, I better get going." And I mean, poor D. I apologize. But like his timing, because sometimes he'd be in the middle of like roping a bull and he'd have this bull. It was like he'd have this bull on the end of a rope and he'd go, "Oh, I better get going." And it's like, well, what? You're in the middle of this. Oh, well, deal with it. And he'd leave. And it was kind of like, okay. And then he'd still get here about half hour, maybe 40 minutes late. It's like, sing an extra hymn until Bryn gets here. But he'd get here. And he loved the people that were in this part of this church. He loved you all so dearly. And that was good. And so here he was in the center of it all, larger than life. I mean, and it was just his persona. It wasn't like he demanded that. It wasn't like he required it. But it was just, it's just who he was. He had this aura around him that just, well, sometimes we call it a smell, but he did have an aura, and it did bring people, and he just invited people to be around him, and he was good at that, but he was just larger than life, and I just was thinking of some stories, and so forgive me for this, but I just think Bryn was an important part of all our lives and a part of this church, but I just remember the first time I ever chased horses with him. He was riding a little half wildy called, I don't even hardly know this guy. And I and another friend are out at his place and we're chasing horses. I've never been on a horse chase in my life. And I just remember being just, this whole thing is happening. Well, it's happening pretty fast because nothing ever, back in Bryn's younger days, nothing happened slow. It was about high speed. You didn't necessarily go anywhere, but you were going at high speed. And I remember I'm watching him lead these horses. I'm with his friend. These horses are going down the old road. And back then, the road out to Helmer Creek was basically sand and clay. So you could just go down the road. It was fine. And I remember going along, and I got fixated on a whole bunch of stuff. And I remember looking in front of me, and there's this low limb on this tree. Don't worry, I survived. But I just remember ducking and watching, just feeling it explode on my back and going, this is crazy. But what a blast, right? It was a lot of fun. And he just invited me along on that. So that was one of those things. I remember when I first met him, it was maybe 4 or 5, 6 weeks after I'd met him for the first time. I was working at camp and I was out for a ride and I'm just riding bareback. And Bryn drives, because at that time they drove the old trail through the Pioneer Camp to get out to the out to town. And there's Bryn. And he gets out of his truck, and I thought we were just going to have a visit. And he just gets out of his truck and he takes his hat and he throws it underneath my horse's belly just to see how the horse and I would respond to this. Fortunately, everything worked out, but I'm like, who is this guy? And I didn't know that this was his norm, right? But that's kind of the thing he did. But it was he just said, well, I just wanted to see what would happen. Well, as a matter of fact, nothing happened. Thank goodness. And then I remember, I don't know if you know about this, but Bryn would get grumpy once in a while. And he would just get kind of set in his grumpiness. And I remember one time we were coming out to a friend's birthday party in Water Valley, and we're driving out and we're at this one, we'd cross this creek, and before this creek there was a gate, and I just said to Bryn, I'll get the gate, and he goes, no bother, and he just drove through the gate. He just drove over it, and then he just kept going. I'm like, don't you think your dad's gonna, I don't know, Clancy, whatever, you know. And he just had that grumpy spell to him, but I never forgot that, because I remember, I'm sure my mouth, if there were flies in the truck, I'd have got them all, because my mouth was that wide open as we just drove through this gate. And then later on, I found out, well, who had to fix it? Yeah, me. So it wasn't any skin off his back. It was just my work afterwards. And then, of course, moving cattle. And as I said, I mean, sometimes moving cattle with Bryn was quite the adventure, because you'd start off with maybe 20 or 30 in front of you, but by the time his dogs was done moving around, there'd be no cattle at all. And you'd be like, what was the point of that exercise? Well, we got out and the dogs got a good run or whatever, right? And it's just like, oh man, this is a make work project. And then I'd end up going and finding all the cattle. I realize now I ended up having to do a lot of work to correct his mistakes. But in the middle of all that, and who he was, he came across kind of like a hero, right? I mean, there were a lot of people that looked up to Bryn and thought of him as a hero, like a sort of one of those, the last of the cowboys, the last of the ones that sort of, like I said, walked to the beat of their own drummer. He wasn't swayed by the ways of the world. He definitely wasn't swayed by saying, don't do that. I wouldn't do that if it's you. I remember one morning, I'd been up checking cows and he's making coffee. And I don't know what got into this. Maybe I've told this story. He has, maybe. But he's standing there in the middle of the house and he thinks, oh, it's a good thing for me to swing this coffee pot around my head to get to the grounds to the bottom of the pot. And every swing I'm going, I wouldn't do that if I was you. And he's swinging it. And I said, I wouldn't do that. And third time I said, I wouldn't do that with if I were you. And he did this and he went up, I guess, and it hit the beam, the post up, went across. And it just, that coffee pot just stopped, boosh, and down on the ground. He said, well, guess you were right. And then, you know who had to clean that up? But I think that's what made him a hero, was the fact that he just didn't get worried or concerned. I mean, ranch rodeos. I remember I was just telling Sam this. We got a cow. He's got a cow roped at the wild milking contest. He doesn't want to get off his horse and milk the cow, so he drops a rope. So I pick it up. I'm running behind this cow, and the whole time I'm running behind the cow, trying to hand him the rope so we can get this thing done, he's riding along waving at the crowd like we're in a parade. And I'm, my tongue's hanging out, and I'm running along. And then he goes, I didn't want to win anyway. I'm like, hey, what was the point? Anyway, but he still was like a hero, right? He still was like a hero. And he wrote a poem, and many of you maybe have heard this, but I just want to read the stanzas of this poem and just to sort of speak into this. It says this. It's his poem called Heroes. I grew up on the stories told of a time when life was bold, and all my heroes rode as cowboys. They were there to save the West, dirty shirts and ragged vests, and they were sure to stand the test as heroes. But they're all gone today. Saddled up, they've rode away, and now there's none to stay as my heroes. I never thought I'd read that poem and envision Bryn in those first three stanzas. I know he didn't write it about himself, but it's true. You know, we all have heroes, but the thing is, our heroes come and go, and they move on. Some pass away. They don't last forever. But the thing about Bryn, as I think back over his 20 years of pastoring and his time at camp and the times we'd do church services at ranch rodeos and cowboy poetry gatherings, he always pointed to Jesus Christ. He always made sure that everybody knew about Jesus. His desire wasn't to fall in love with a man or the image of a man or a hero, but rather he said, but look to Jesus. Come to know him. Walk with him. And he had very eloquent and gifted way of sharing that with people. And I was always, yes, transfixed as I listened to that. Because I thought, here's a man that could live in the glory. But yet that was never his end or desire. His desire that was that with people would discover Jesus and that we could walk together and grow in our faith together. Well, you know, in this piece of scripture we read tonight out of the book of Philippians, it's really the same thing about Paul. I mean, I think about Paul and it just seems that he was one of these bigger than life fixtures. His whole thing was to bring churches together, but not for his glory, but so that people would know Jesus. They would enter into this relationship with Jesus, that they would put their faith and trust in him, and that they would walk with him and discover his truth in deeper and deeper or greater fashion. And it would build up their faith. And that they would reach out into their communities. And it would change their communities forever. Not because of who they were, but about who God was in their lives. His whole thing was, Paul's whole thing to everybody was, follow Jesus. Become more and more like him in your attitudes and your actions. And you know, this piece of scripture we read out of Philippians today is such a beautiful piece of scripture. They often say it was actually probably maybe one of the first hymns that would have been sung by churches. It the way it's written, it's not written from scripture, but somewhere along the line, somebody had written words that brought the character of Jesus and the fullness of Jesus into light, and it was there to be on people's minds, a reminder of who Jesus is. I encourage you, take time to read this piece of scripture through your week or spend time with it and let it speak into your lives. And as you read it, look to Jesus, who he was, what he did for you and I, and the heart or the attitude he took to accomplish the things that he did. Philippians 2:5 just says, in your relationships with one another. So here Paul is drawing this fellowship of believers together who are made up of different cultural and economic status. They were a mixed bunch. Romans, Philippians, slave girl, other people would have gathered, maybe some remnants of Jewish people that were escaping the persecution in other parts of the world. They were coming together. They were becoming a fellowship of believers. They were becoming the church, the bride of Christ. And remember we talked about he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. This is what Paul is reminding him. But as he starts off by saying, but in your relationships with another, have the same attitude or mindset as Christ Jesus. Friends, there's the challenge to you and I. Do we take the time to consider what it means to have the same attitude and mindset of Jesus? Paul goes on to explain what this might look like. What this looked like for Jesus and what it might look like for us. And he starts off by talking about Jesus, who wasn't just reaching to be God, but was God. If we read right from Genesis, it says that Jesus was there. Jesus was there, well, at the beginning of this earth, at the beginning of this creation. Jesus is part of Godhead. And now, it says that he gave that up. He took his mantle of his robe and he hung it up and he allowed himself to be poured out. He gave up. He gave up his holiness. And it said he gave up his form as God and he took on the form of man, meaning that he was fully God. And he gave that up and became fully man. So much so that he became a servant. So if we think about the attitude of Jesus, we think about he's emptied himself for us. He's given up his authority. And he comes to earth and he falls under the authority of the Father. And what did humility look like to Jesus? What did that attitude look like? Well, how did Jesus respond when lepers or people that needed healing came to him? He could have easily saw them from a half mile away where they were yelling out. And he could have said, be healed. But no, what did he do? Come here. Come. Come close. Come closer. They would have feared. That could have got them killed. Entering into a relationship when you're a leper, entering in close to people, they were bound to stay away. But Jesus says, no. And he embraces them. He touches them. He brings them a wholeness. He doesn't just heal them. He brings them a wholeness. He restores them. The Son of God, the Son of Man, embracing the outsider, the marginal, the cast out. Talk about humility. We remember the story of Jesus walking and there's crowds of people around and there's this one guy, this outsider, who's seen as really the lowest of the low, didn't really fit into anything, wasn't Roman, but wasn't really considered a good Jew. He was a tax collector. His name was Zacchaeus. And in amongst that throng of people, what does Jesus do? Hey, Zacchaeus, you and I, we're going to have lunch. Come down. We're going to your place. I'm going to eat with you. I'm going to fellowship with you. I am going to enter into your space so that you can discover the kingdom of God. Talk about humility. It wasn't about one act. It was about the humility and the servanthood of God. And I think really the biggest one is on the night, the last night that Jesus is with his disciples, the last night before his death, when he was to die, but in a sense that was the beginning of his glorification, his his coming into the fullness of who he was on earth, his death and resurrection. But on that last night, what does he do? Here he is, the teacher. He should be the one that is being cared for. But what does he do? He takes off the robes of the rabbi, hangs them on the wall, and takes on the apron of the servant. And he washes his disciples' feet. He gets down, and even under Peter's protest, he says, no, this is why I'm here. This is why I have come to serve. I have come to serve. Goes on in Philippians to say that he was obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Friends, Paul is saying this is the mindset we're to have. This is the attitude we're to have in our relationship towards one another. Consider others. Consider their needs. Consider the earth. Put yourselves behind and think of others first. Allow God to teach us how to do that. Teach you, teach me how to do that. so that we can be united in the Spirit of God. So what does that look like for us? I just wrote down three or four things here. Because what does Christ-like humility look like? And here's a question. Does it shape how we live? It should shape how we live. And it should shape how we love. And it should shape where we live. Now, I'm not saying you're going to have to move, but do you know your neighbors? Do you know the people in your community? The insiders, the cool people? Or do you know the estranged, the hurting, the broken, the set-aparts, the cast-offs? Do you know the homeless, the single moms, the single dads, the orphans, the people that are aching for a place to belong? Christ-like humility looks like knowing our neighbor and letting them get to know us. It challenges us to say, who do we love? So the whole point of this is, keep your eyes on Christ, the one who began a good work in you, will bring it to completion. Bring it to completion. To wrap up tonight, I just want to sing a song. I want to sing that song, Heroes. So I'm just going to, can I grab you? Not used to these guitars that have plug into things. There's no currant bushes where I live. So this is the rest of that song that Bryn wrote that speaks to us keeping our eyes on Christ. I grew up on the stories told of a time when life was bold, and all my heroes rode as cowboys. They were there to save the West, dirty shirts and ragged vests. They were sure to stand the test as heroes. But they're all gone today, yeah, they've saddled up and rode away. Now there's none to stay as my heroes. But on the other side is where that dark force rides. Long to hang them high as outlaws. Maybe we just couldn't see how inside they tried to be just the same as you and me as heroes. But are they gone today? Did they saddle up or ride away? Or are they the ones that stayed as my heroes? Tell me long ago there rode a man, and he led a rebel band far across the shifting sands, a leader. But with the price upon his head at Calvary they hung him dead, rose again just like he said. Is he a hero? Or is he gone today? Did he saddle up and ride away? Are there none to stay as my hero? But through it all, now I found the answer to the thorny crown that they thrust upon his brow, the Messiah. Seems his death, well, it had to be to pay the price for you and me. He's the only one can set us free, and he's my hero. He's not gone today, he never saddled up or rode away. He's the only one could stay is my hero. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I just ask that this word would be set on our hearts, and it would remind us to look to you. And when we find ourselves in those places where we find our place in a place of conflict, Lord, help us to remember these words, that we're to have the attitude of Christ towards one another, living with that. And Lord, we say that not for our glory, but to say we want you to be glorified. We want the world to know that we serve and walk and are loved by a risen Savior who is moving and mighty in this earth. Be with us. Be with us. Continue to do this work in our lives. Grow us in our faith. And we thank you for your faithfulness. In your name we pray.